what in the world happened at Kadesh Barnea? And what does that have to do with the book of Hebrews? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and we are so excited that you've decided to join us for this episode. This episode is part of a larger series that we're calling Hebrews Partners with Christ. That name comes from a brand new book that we've recently published by Dr. Kenneth Yates. We're lucky to have him in the studio for the duration of this series. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Kenneth Yates, Dr. Bob Wilkin, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And in the studio with us today is Dr. Ken Yates, author of a new commentary on Hebrews called Hebrews Partners with Christ, available at our bookstore or available on Amazon.com. And I've offered before the first 25 people to email radio@faithalone.org and request a physical copy of this book. If you live in the continental U.S., we will send you a copy. So please do that. And maybe just to spice things up, I'll put the first couple chapters of this book online for free on our ebooks page. Bob, remind me to do that later.
Sure.
Okay, so I actually do it. Because this is a dynamite book. You're going to love this book. You wrote this. This isn't for necessarily for scholars, you know, in the seminary. This is for...
I tried as much as possible to leave out Greek words. It's mainly for the layman and pastor, but it's also for anyone who wants to see a book about the book of Hebrews from the angle that is talking about eternal rewards.
But this isn't a fluffy commentary that you might find in a Christian bookstore. You know how you have these feel-good messages, you know, that don't have any substance to them? This is easy to read, but it is substantial. This brings out the theology of Hebrews in a way that anyone can understand.
Yes, that was my goal. I hope that the person who reads it will come away saying, okay, I know what the book is talking about. I know the context, and I know the interpretation of the book, yes.
Well, we're in chapter 3 and in verse 7, and we're about to address the second warning passage in Hebrews. And if you know anything about Hebrews at all, you know it has these very dire warnings. And the question is, what are these warnings about? Who are they addressed to? What's really at stake here? And one of the things that we discovered in the previous episode, in the very top of the chapter, the author of Hebrews is writing to holy brethren who are partakers of the heavenly calling. And that tells us that his readers are totally fake Christians who've never had salvation to begin with.
No, I believe you got that wrong, Sean. The holy brethren and partakers of a heavenly calling is clearly talking to believers. And something we didn't mention that I just want to add, it also refers to Jesus Christ as our high priest. Jesus is not the high priest of unbelievers. Jesus is only the high priest for believers. So, to me, there is no doubt that the author of Hebrews here is talking to Christians. They are the ones that can drift away. And so when we come into the second warning passage, we need to keep that in mind above all else.
Now, if you could summarize the first warning, it was kind of a generalized warning. How would you just summarize it very quickly, the first warning?
Well, the first warning is found in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it is, like Sean said, a general warning of drifting away. And that happens when a believer does not pay attention to the things that Christ and the apostles taught about the coming kingdom and about the rewards that are going to be there for those who are faithful. We can drift away from those things if we're not careful.
Now, at the top of the chapter 3, the author started comparing Jesus to Moses. And now in these verses, I think this comparison with Moses is going to be even more pronounced. So let me start reading in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Ken, what is this quote from? What is it referring to?
Well, it's from Psalm 95, and David is writing centuries after it happened, but he's referring to what happened at Kadesh Barnea.
And by the way, can I just say something about that? Isn't it so interesting that although David is writing, who is the ultimate author of David's words here?
Sure, it's God, the Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the author of Hebrews calls it the Holy Spirit.
It's the inspiration of Scripture, people. The word, every single word, right down to the very letters in the words, are inspired. They're God-breathed. They're inspired by God. That's our position here in Grace and Focus. This is the infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired word of God.
And maybe we could have Ken pick up on Kadesh Barnea is one of the key incidents in the Old Testament. But maybe you could talk about the spies and what happened at Kadesh Barnea and what happened as a result of them hardening their hearts.
Yes, it's very important for the author of Hebrews. He uses this, again, as an illustration of what he's talking about. What happened at Kadesh Barnea was God had redeemed the nation out of Egypt, brought them through, gave them the law, led them through the wilderness. And as they got to the edge of the promised land, they sent 12 spies into the land to spy it out. God said, go in there and I will defeat your enemies. That's very important for the book of Hebrews. Just trust in me. You will have victory. And they came back and 10 of the spies said, there's no way we can defeat the enemies, and encouraged the people not to go into the land and fight the battle. Only two said, and that was Joshua and Caleb, said, let's go on. Let's do what God told us. We can do it. And this is very important for a number of reasons. Number one, he's not using this as an illustration of how to go to heaven, because the whole illustration is one of fighting, of one of trusting, of one end you're surrounded by enemies, and salvation from hell is free. And so this is talking about trusting in God when you are faced with obstacles, when you're faced with difficulties. This fits the context perfectly in the book of Hebrews. And because that nation did not do what God wanted them to do, God disciplined them, and the adults in that generation died in the wilderness.
So they all went to hell. That's what happened.
No.
Sean's just baiting me. In fact, even afterwards, God forgave them, and God cared for them in the wilderness, but they paid a price for their disobedience, for their unwillingness to trust in the Lord as they were coming face to face with these enemies.
Well, before we go on, yeah. I would say two things. Number one, their eternal destiny was not the issue at Kadesh Barnea. Whether they got to go into the land, what he calls entering my rest, they didn't get to enter the rest. But as far as their eternal destiny, where they'll spend eternity, well, that would depend on whether they were believing in the coming Messiah, right?
Yes, what they did at Kadesh Barnea had no input whatsoever on where they will spend eternity. This was a temporal judgment that fell upon them. And entering the rest, the very word rest means to rest from what? From works. They had works to do, and they were not willing to do that. And if they would have gone in the land, God promised them that they would inherit the cities of their enemies. They would live in cities they didn't build, and they lost all of these things.
And they would have rest from their enemies, too.
Absolutely.
So as far as we really don't know exactly how many of those who died were born again, how many weren't, how many went to the kingdom, how many didn't, but that's not the issue at all. The issue here was they were unfaithful. They did not listen. They hardened their hearts. And so, as a result, they didn't get to enter into the land.
And what's interesting is they heard this message from Moses. There's this land for them. And they even saw the works of the Lord, like these miraculous works, being fed manna and seeing the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud, just as the readers of Hebrews saw miraculous works performed by the apostles. And he was saying, listen, those miracles confirm the message. So listen to that message. And these Hebrews, they did not listen to Moses' message. And instead of trusting God, they feared their enemies. And so as punishment, they didn't get to enter in. And that's what the audience of Hebrews, what's at stake for them? It's not entering the promised land. What is at stake? What are they going to miss out? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Notice what he calls them, brethren.
That's good.
And again, he's not talking to unbelievers.
Right.
And as Bob pointed out, we don't know how many of these people had actually believed in the coming Messiah, but the illustration that they are the people of God, in the sense that God had redeemed them out of Egypt
right.
and done these things and gave them work to do. they would be a lousy illustration of unbelievers. Because these people believed in God, and as Sean said, they saw his miracles. They just shrunk back when they were faced with this obstacle.
And he warns them against a heart of unbelief, presumably because they have a heart of belief.
Right.
Okay, verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ. There's that key word again, partakers, metakoi.
Partners, yeah.
If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Basically, if you keep on having faith in Christ.
Yes, and notice the author includes himself once again, as he does in all the warning passages. We. And,
oh, he's French.
Yeah. he's French, yes. He is saying that he needs to do this. And so clearly he is talking to Christians, this idea of God has given you work to do. You can go in and your enemies will be defeated. There's an inheritance in the land that the people of Kadesh Barnea had. We have an inheritance in the world to come, and we have work to do as well. But we need to remain faithful and trust in God when we are faced with obstacles.
And notice 14's kind of stated in an odd way. For we have become partakers or partners, co-heirs with Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So it's conditional.
Yes, and in many of the parables that the Lord gave, how we end is very important to the Lord, how we finish. And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying, hold firm till the end. And the original readers were in danger of not doing that because of the persecution, because of the enemies they were facing.
Let me just finish with verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So whose responsibility is it whether or not you have a hard heart or not?
We are. And notice, even though David is talking about Kadesh Barnea in Psalm 95, he applies it to his day. And then the author of Hebrews applies it to the day that he is writing. So the point is, in every generation, every believer has a responsibility to remain faithful to the Lord.
And with that thought, Ken, we'll end this episode. If you want to listen to previous episodes of Grace and Focus, go to iTunes.com, go to our website, and be sure to pick up a copy of Ken's new book, Hebrews, Partners with Christ.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on one of Hebrews' warning passages. Maybe you would like to go deeper on the book of Hebrews. You're in luck because we have a brand new book, as you know, called Hebrews Partners with Christ. You can get it at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Click the button that says store and it'll take you right to it. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources on the site that you can take advantage of, all designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If that's the case, you can also find out how to do that at faithalone.org. We would welcome any messages you'd like to send to us, feedback, comments. I'll give you our email address. We love to hear from listeners. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the program, we're going to continue talking about this very interesting warning passage in Hebrews, so don't miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.